Everybody, welcome back to Is This a Ghost? I'm Clayton Smith, and every single week, believe it or not, I tell a real ghost story from real history to my real friend, Patrick Dean, who does not take it real seriously.
Welcome to the loosest pod on the net.
It's going to be a real loose show because one of us has been drinking wine for 3 hours. Any guesses, Patrick, on which one of us that is?
I've been pretty furiously parenting for the last 3 hours, so I don't think it was me.
Well, what I will say is when I first texted you, because now I'm in the Eastern time zone, our timing is all messed up. I'm an hour ahead of you, so this is 9:30 something as we're starting. At my 8:30 time, which is our normal time, I was like, hey, I'm ready, let me know. I'm in Eastern time zone. And then, of course, because I sent that message, my girls then got out of bed both and were screaming and crying. And then I was parenting after having had some wine for a while. And that was cool and fun. And now here I am.
Maybe you shouldn't text anymore. Maybe that was the problem the whole time. Maybe
I think it might be. It's not. I'll tell you this. It's not the problem. So... Oh, boy. Do you have any announcements before we get started?
No. Very little goes on in my life.
Okay. You want to, like, talk about... I don't know. You want to, like...
Not a thing.
Okay.
Not a thing.
All right. Rather than me telling the boring work story I was going to tell when I thought we'd been recording for 10 minutes, do you want to talk about Bobby Onyedike?
Sure.
Remember that time we were recording and we were just like, you know, doing our thing,
right?
Recording a podcast as we do.
Very casual.
Yeah. And I looked at my, thank God I looked at my audio and I was not recording. I did not press the button.
I do remember that. I remember
it. It was fun.
Very, very well.
So do you want to talk about the Supreme Court again? We talked about that. We talked about
Bobby Bonilla. Yeah, right.
What do you want to talk about? What do you want to revisit from ago?
I'm kind of tired of talking about both of those things now.
Okay, that's weird. Okay.
I'll explain Bobby Bonilla Day to those of
next
us.
Next year?
Yeah. those of us who don't know about it and apparently can't listen to the last 10 and a half minutes of audio. Because it doesn't exist. Bobby Bonilla Day is a day celebrated on July 1st of every year, seemingly interminably. Or Bobby Bonilla is given a check by the New York Mets totaling $1.2 million. The New York Mets, sometime back in the early 2000s, decided to tell Bobby Bonilla, if you will walk away from the Mets right now, which many people were... desperate to do.
Everyone wanted to walk away from
Bobby Bonilla was
every
the only
Met
one
at the time wanted Bobby's deal for Bobby, sure.
Bobby Bonilla was the only one that asked for a check on the way out the door, and they were like, yeah, sure, why not? We also just asking for baseballs, but yeah, why not? Bobby Bonilla is paid by the New York Mets again to stop playing baseball 20 years ago. $1.2 million every single year from the years 2011, right?
Yeah.
To the year 2035.
So long. What I would give for someone to pay me $1.2 million a year for almost 25 years to just not do a thing.
I would probably kill someone every year for 25 years if they were like, that's how you renew your pension. Really.
And that's way more active than what he's doing.
Yeah. Bobby Bonilla. God bless him. He got his.
He sure did. Good for him, man.
Yeah.
And the Mets got theirs. Oh, boy. Been responding accordingly ever since. We also talked about SCOTUS. So do you want to, you're pretty excited about that. Do you want to?
Yeah, it's very exciting, you know, for the accelerationists among us, I guess. It's definitely, definitely gets us down the road much, much faster than we would have any other way.
Here's what I will say. I want to be positive. And so if I'm going to find a positive outcome to today's ruling that a president can just basically be a king, what I would say is that actually a lot of our ghost stories come from England, where that is kind of the structure that allowed for a lot of really interesting ghosts. You and I will probably not be around to enjoy it, but... it's paving the way for some potentially really cool ghosts for the future.
Really? I think, you know, maybe it'll be like a Ghostbusters Afterlife thing. Like maybe our children will start a ghost podcast.
Oh yeah.
You know, from the mines. And mm-hmm. they will and they will talk about the ghosts of you and I. And what we
and how we got hauled away by men in jack boots and how interesting that was. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's great. I'm really excited. I am going to start posting even less on every form of social media about any thought that goes into my head.
I've started thinking maybe I should stop texting.
It's probably not a bad idea.
Yeah. Jesus Christ. But we are here for humor and laughter. And actually, it's been a couple weeks since we've done this because I moved to Virginia. Mm-hmm. And so we took last week off. You were on vacation to an undisclosed location.
Yeah.
That I think turned out to be mostly just St. Louis.
And then I go on vacation next week. So.
Must be nice.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Must be nice. Indeed. So what happened is you had your weeks mixed up. Is that right?
Sure. Yeah, of course. Why not?
I love that you you tell me all the time you don't have any vacation time. You can't possibly do like ghost related things because you have no vacation time. And correct. Yet, two vacations back to back. How interesting. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. Anyway, how have you been? How are you?
Feeling good? Good. Yeah, I think good immediately. Probably not.
Okay.
Probably not in like a 4 month window. Probably not good. But for now.
It's July, huh?
Yeah. No, we're good. We're okay for now.
And you didn't watch a debate on Thursday, right? You did not.
I did not. And I still feel this great somehow.
It was not better having watched it live. My feelings about the world are that I guess we'll keep doing this podcast mm-hmm. for now until, mm-hmm. until whatever.
Was watching the debate live kind of like whenever Joe Namath's knee got blown out on live TV,
you know,
and
what?
They were like, actually, "Ooh, I'm sorry, anybody that saw that live, I'm very sorry. We won't be showing that again, though."
It was pretty similar, actually. Yeah, because you know, like Joe Namath had one job, which was to throw the ball,
right?
And that became very difficult mm-hmm. when you're like, "Oh, I didn't see this version of not being able to throw a ball coming necessarily." And
who knew you could injure someone's like, bottom half bad enough to make the top half not work anymore? And then yeah. on live TV.
Yeah. So that actually is a very apt comparison. And I you know what? I envy you for not having watched it because, you know, well it's going to be mm-hmm. is I think what I have to say about that. Before we get to the ghost story, which mm-hmm. probably will be more fun than this, mm-hmm. We should just say that if you're not yet a member of Ghost Plus, mm-hmm. I think you're missing some fun stuff. We've done some good ghosties. Mm-hmm. We got the Headless Cobbler of Smollett Cave. Mm-hmm. That's fun. The most recent one is Harrison Grancer, Dancing Ghost of Coffee County, Alabama.
Grancer
the Dancer. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. It's fun. He does dance, mm-hmm. and you're going to want to hear about that. So it's a lot of fun stuff happening there. And Ryan and I have done the Smith Show a couple times. We've got more just wild things. And that's the show where I tell Ryan, basically it's a similar format, but I tell Ryan a non-ghost story from history. Mm-hmm. And he reacts, you know, in mm-hmm. his own, similarly, but in his Ryan way.
Right. Does he poke holes in it?
He likes to do that.
Okay.
That's yeah. Fair. Yeah. But, he's grumpier, I would say.
Really? Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, the gauntlet has been dropped.
No, I'm not saying that you should be grumpier. I'm just saying, you know, it's nice to have differences, mm-hmm. you know, your ketchup and he's barbecue sauce and we want both of those.
Okay. That's fine.
Well, you're the one who was ketchup. I don't.
You know what else we do on the Ghost Plus?
What else
we do? We do an intro.
Actually, I don't think that's true. Well, do you want to hear a ghost story?
Yeah, love to. I'm here.
Oh. Was it loud enough? Let's try it louder. Yeah. Ready?
Dong.
Ah! That's too loud. All right, we're going to find a level for this. All right, how about this? Ready?
Dong. That's it right there. That's it.
That's the one. Yep. All right. Well, now that we found that, Loretta Webb was born On April 14th, 1932, in Butcher Hollow, Kentucky.
Ooh.
Named, unfortunately, for a family called Butcher, not because they were butchers.
Well, I'm sure originally they were butchers.
That's probably true.
Nobody pulls that name out of a hat.
You could.
Nobody like does financial planning. They're like, yeah, but I think when we go to pick, I think we're going to pick Butcher. That seems like a lot tougher name.
What if you want to be left alone?
It's true.
That's a great name to pick if you want to be left alone.
What did you pick? Baker? What about you? Candlestick maker. Oh, that's stupid. What's left? Oh, that's pretty okay. Cool. Okay.
I'm actually fine with that. Sure. Okay. Butcher.
Better than the fucking candle guy. Jesus.
So the Butcher Hollow was a coal mining town in Kentucky. So Loretta Webb, she was the oldest daughter of Clara Marie Ramey and Melvin Theodore Webb. Clara and Melvin went by Clary and Ted.
Yeah.
Respectively.
Yeah. That's not surprising. So.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Ted was a coal miner, as was in vogue in the space for the time. And an interesting note, the family claims Cherokee heritage on Clary's side, quote, but have not been officially recognized by that tribe. Mm. So that feels tough. The Elizabeth Warren of...
yeah. Someone was seeing about some extra scholarships, getting a few extra bucks.
Gotta try. You gotta try.
All we can say now, is no.
Loretta was named after the film star Loretta Young. I will give you $1 million if you can name one movie that Loretta Young was in.
Ooh, she was in Gone with the Wind, definitely.
Now, I will have to IMDb it because I have no idea. Let's see. If she was in Gone with the Wind.
Please be Gone with the Wind.
I am going to turn this podcast off and never return. Gone with the Wind. Loretta Young was in. Yep, there you are. Uh-huh. You were in The Stranger. The Farmer's Daughter.
Oh, I've seen that one.
Okay. It's different. That was the Pornhub version. That's different.
Oh.
The Doctor Takes a Wife. Also the Pornhub version. And Midnight Mary, also the Pornhub. Wow, she's literally.
These are all in black and white, right?
Mostly white.
Sorry. Sorry. Anyway, I haven't seen any of these movies. I saw Gone with the Wind, but she wasn't in it, I guess.
I guess I can control find. I think it would show up. No. Okay, so okay. I get to keep my millions. And where are we? So Loretta had 7 siblings, and she was the oldest girl. When she was 15, Loretta Webb married a 21-year-old man named Doolittle Lynn. And she took his name, and she became Loretta Lynn.
Oh. You're talking about Loretta now, Lynn? Loretta Lynn?
That's the one. That's the one. I'm going to answer, Patrick, preemptively, 2 questions I'm sure you either have or you will have soon if you haven't thought about them yet. Number one, Doolittle's name was Oliver. But he got the nickname Doolittle because he was lazy as shit and did, in fact, very little.
I was going to ask if Doolittle was a God-given name because it's a real mean God-given name.
It is. But also, no, it's just a mean human-given name.
Similar situation, sure.
The second answer to a question that you have not asked yet, but I'm thinking you probably are going to have. You may be thinking 15 is very young to get married to a 21-year-old. Now, what I'll tell you is, until the 2000s, it was believed that Loretta got married at 13 years old.
Oh.
Because that's what happened. And so you obviously have heard of Loretta Lynn. You may or may not know that she had a biography, the movie Coal Miner's Daughter, starring Sissy Spacek. In that movie, they did say that she was 13 when she got married because that's what Loretta told everyone. Now, it turns out she had lied about her age from a very young age in order to get on the stage. So she was not 13 when she got married. She was 15. So you can just relax. She was a normal 15 years old. Also, Coal Miner's Daughter is a very celebrated movie. And it is, I've never heard anyone flag the fact that they're like, wait a minute. It's just,
This math does not work out at all.
Married at 13. Is that okay? We're all good with that. But here we are.
More like the coal miner's miner. Sorry.
Oh boy. So let's see. So Loretta's dad, Ted, he developed the old black lung.
Oh.
From being a miner.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, what you do. And he and Clary, Loretta's mom, they eventually moved to Wabash, Indiana, thinking this will be better.
That's what everybody moving to Indiana thinks. They're like, oh man, finally, the promised land. And then...
and then it's not better. And as Ted can attest, because his health got worse.
Indiana coal mines is a lot cleaner. Clean coal there.
Clean coal mines. Those Mike Pence coal mines. Mm. They're clean. Clean like Mike Pence. Clean like his soul. As clean as the film strip for Mulan when Mike Pence gets done with it. Wipes all those Asians off of there. And so, let's see. 4 years later, at the age of 52, he dies from a stroke, actually. Anyway, back to Loretta. So she loved to sing, of course. Mm-hmm. And right around this time, she formed her own band called the Trailblazers.
Hmm.
And you'll probably be not surprised to learn she was pretty good. She, let's see, won a televised talent contest in Tacoma, Washington. Hosted by Buck Owens.
Hey, big time.
He's no slouch. He's no slouch. And yeah. So that was pretty good. And her prize for winning that was a wristwatch.
And a date with Buck Owens.
I'm 74 years old. But... now, Loretta's performance on that talent show was seen by a ton of people, including a Canadian man named Norm Burley. You ever heard of Norm Burley before?
New to me. Nope. I've heard of men named Burley and men named Norm. But not Norm Burley.
Burley men named Norm.
Yeah.
And normal men named Burley. Well, after hearing Loretta sing in that show, Norm and his colleague Don Grashy, which I guess is the name, they formed a record company called Zero Records.
Oh, well. And... I mean, there are other names you can choose. You don't have to just start with the worst one you can imagine.
But here, think about this. Okay, counterpoint. Mm-hmm. That's true. However, if you go with the worst one ever, done.
Yeah.
You don't have to keep thinking.
Good point.
So Zero Records and I think they formed this specifically to sign Loretta to a contract.
Oh, okay.
And this was her first contract.
Their first contract.
Yeah, so this is almost as good as a wristwatch, I guess. Yeah. Maybe not quite.
How would you like a Mickey Mouse wristwatch and a Mickey Mouse record contract? Oh,
the fuck is Mickey Mouse? But Loretta is a hit, of course. Do you want to interject here with, what do you know about Loretta Lynn? You're not a country music fan.
Oh, man.
What do you...
She was in a movie called The Coal Miner's Daughter.
She was not in it. That was, you're thinking of Sissy Spacek.
I am thinking of Sissy Spacek. Is that what we're talking about here? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I do not know any Loretta Lynn songs off the top of my head. No.
No, but you know that she is a famous musician.
Very famous. Yes.
Oh, so famous.
Super
oh.
famous. I know her name. Famous, and right? I don't know anybody about anything.
Ain't she that blood poured on her head during the prom, right?
Is that right? Yeah. Sarah, yeah. No, still SpaceX on that one. Oh, interesting.
Oh, what?
Huh. Wow, okay.
Anyway, so it will not surprise you and probably a lot of our listeners that she's a hit, right? From the jump, she's a hit. One song on that very first album goes immediately to number 14 on the charts. It's pretty good for a debut, debut album.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1960, at the age of 28, Loretta Lynn makes her first appearance at the Grand Ole Opry.
Ah. Biggest of the big stages.
That's a big time. That is on my bucket list for sure. I really, really want to go. Ryman Auditorium. Yes, absolutely.
We'll play at the Grand Ole Opry. I mean, a lot of people would love to do that.
I'm going to have to learn an instrument. It's going to be a lot easier if I just like go watch a show, but I'm a completionist, and I really want to get on that stage.
I'm also going to tell everybody I'm 13 years old. And maybe they'll just be like, you know what? By God, I don't know what kind of illness you have, but you can go up on that stage, little boy.
Well, if I shave my beard, I think I can get away with it. I look very young without my beard.
I have that freak growing disease. I'm very young, but definitely dying.
Have you been to the Ripley's, believe it or not, in Branson? You know that guy who was really tall? That's me.
I ate him, and that is me now.
But I'll get there, but I'm not, I'm a wee lad.
Put me on the stage. Now. I have my triangle.
That's probably what I would play. Oof. I don't know. It sounds, I don't know. I think I would be off rhythm. What's the thing that people can play if they don't know what music is or how to do it?
Ooh, tambourine's pretty good.
That's good. Cause you just shake it the whole time and people are like, that's part of it. That's the whole deal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I'm in. It's like the bass for people who don't know what bass is. To the background and just makes or breaks it. Okay, so where are we? So she's the Grand Ole Opry, which is great. So this only further cements her popularity, and Loretta Lynn becomes the number one female recording artist in country music.
Oof.
So very quickly, she's really, really blown up. She quickly befriends a little lady named Patsy Cline.
Ooh.
Whom she credits as her mentor and best friend for a while. And so your toilet's running. Here's what I'll say. I think Jeremy is still here to edit this one, but there's a couple weeks in July. He's going to be out, and I don't know how to take the toilet out.
So here's the fun thing. This is not the toilet running. This is my children in the backyard. They have turned on the hose.
It's almost 9 o'clock at night.
They've turned on the hose and they are spraying the window directly above me while cackling.
Oh, so they're trolling you.
Looking right down in the window. I'm looking at all of them right now.
And they think it's very funny.
They are going to
They're not wrong.
Beaten mercilessly in a few minutes. I promise you.
Now I got to clean my keyboard because I spat wine all over it. Any Kleenex in here?
Yeah, it's in the drawer.
I'll use this piece of paper.
Are you? Yes, oh my God. Take that Bible.
There's wine all over my keyboard. Take that analog media.
I don't need this page from Numbers. I don't need this page from Numbers.
Oh boy. Okay. So, boy, I have totally lost our place here. Patsy Cline. So Loretta is very quickly becoming one of the biggest stars in the history of country music. She starts singing with Conway Twitty.
Woo.
She releases an incredibly popular biographical song called Coal Miner's Daughter, in which she lies about being 13, I guess. And then, of course, the movie is made. She also releases a song called The Pill, which was one of the first songs in history to discuss birth control.
Really?
Which I had no knowledge of before this. Huh.
It's a little thing that women take every month.
Sorry, I should have been more clear. You're right. I didn't know that she had created a song called The Pill.
You have a lot of kids. I didn't know.
You know. I mean, obviously, that's not a thing in our house. Right. Oh, boy. So you and I, Pat, we're not going to get deep into her career because this is a ghost podcast. I want to get us on track here, but rest assured, she was doing very well. I don't know if she's like big in the UK, so I want to be very clear for our UK listeners.
Yeah.
Loretta Lynn is a really big deal in country music. So she's got fame, she's got money, and eventually Loretta decides she's tired of that big city Nashville life. You know what Nashville's like.
Mm-hmm.
All that hot chicken.
City of lights.
So
and chicken.
Yep. That's what they call it. It's on the flag. City of lights and chicken. Have you been to Nashville?
I have, and I've had a...
Have you?
I've had a Nashville hot chicken sandwich there so hot that I very nearly threw up at the table. It was...
That's not... I've done that in Chicago with a Nashville hot chicken sandwich. That's not a big deal. I want to go. I wonder how close I am to Nashville now.
You're probably really close.
Be close.
You know where you don't know where you live right now. That's what
I have no idea. People keep telling me like, "Oh, I live in like this town and this town," you know, and I'm like, "I don't know. Are you in my town?
What metropolitan areas are near my new metropolitan area?" I do
none. You have to go real far. someone asked, so we live in the town we live in is called Fishersville, and it's a very small, it's like a very rural, like, you know, and it's very cute and wonderful. But I told someone the other day, I was like, yeah, you know, we just, you know, moved into Fishersville. And they said, oh, what part of Fishersville? And I said,
I don't know.
I don't know.
I stretch this arm out. I touch one side. I stretch this arm out.
Well, and I looked at the map to try to answer that question because I was like, I don't know. Let me look. And I don't know.
Yeah.
Fishersville. Yeah. Like, I don't even know how to answer that question. It's upper so small.
Fishersville. Always, always. Upper Fishersville. Upper. Not lower Fishersville. Nah,
no.
Down on by the river.
High side of the railroad tracks, yeah. For sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. Let's see. Nashville, Tennessee. Where are you from me? I don't want to brag, by the way. I have a second monitor now.
Oh, really? That's wild.
Because Aaron got a new one and I got her old one. Like Amanda's. It's still an 8-hour drive. That's too far.
Hmm. How do you move that far away from Nashville?
I'm close to nowhere. I think 2 hours away is DC, but that's about it.
Hmm.
And one state over is the ocean. Yeah. As we may or may not have recorded in an earlier discussion tonight. Can't be sure until we hear the Jeremy cut. Anyway, so Nashville, she was like, no more Nashville. Mm-hmm. Cities. Ugh. Gross. So she and Dew jump in a car. Oh, he went by Dew.
Well, yeah. I mean, if someone's going to say, you think your name's Doolittle because you're so fucking lazy. Like, no. My name's
Poop.
Look, all this stuff I do every day. In fact, I'm going to call myself Dew from now on. Not Doolittle. In fact,
I do so many things. Yeah. I will call myself Dew. I do so much. I do twice as much as everyone else. Dew. So she and Dew jump in the car and drive out to the country, and they're looking for a new place to live.
Mm-hmm.
They were on their way to see a certain property, but they got lost.
Mm.
Google Maps, not very good. Rural Tennessee in 1964. So they get lost down these country roads, and they're just driving, and eventually they stumble across a beautiful white house in the middle of fucking nowhere, and his house sits above a waterfall and an old grist mill.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Loretta and Dew are confused.
Hang on, real quick.
Go ahead.
I want you to let me know as specifically as possible what the fuck a grist mill is. I would like to know. I'm curious.
I will answer your question. Yeah. I want to ask you a question. Do you know what a grist mill is?
I do know what a grist mill is. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
If I had to guess... Mm-hmm. Well, I know what a mill does, right? You spin it around and it mashes stuff
Correct.
Up.
Correct. Absolutely.
Now, a corn mill would be one that mashes up corn.
Correct. Yes. That's
the word they use. A wheat mill or a barley mill would be one for that. Now, a grist mill, that sounds to me like gristle.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So were I to guess, I would guess they smash up animals.
Mm-hmm. Right. Or at least the unused parts of them.
Yeah. And make them into, I would say, tallow, perhaps.
Ooh, or, very nice. Like candles. I like this.
Like candles. It's soap. Or if you are Percy and you work at a fancy New York restaurant, right. The lard that comes with food that you're expected to eat, which is so gross. You ever had solid lard on a plate? Glass
full of fat and paid for it?
It's so gross. Is that right?
I have no idea. I have no idea what grist mill is. All right, well. You're probably really close. I mean, you did the whole like Latin breakdown. I was very impressed.
Yeah, I think Latin for bones is grist. Uh-huh, Let's ask ChatGPT what they think. What is a grist mill facility? A facility where grains, such as wheat, corn, or rye, are ground into flour or meal. Now that's a missed opportunity.
It's a shame.
Should have called it a wheat mill.
Mm-hmm.
And grist is for gristle.
Exactly.
So
I'm very curious what they call the grist mill, where they grind the gristle. I think
maybe it's called an abattoir. Not a 0% chance.
It's called a smushery. It's where we just kind of do a lot of smushing. Oh, you don't work down at the smushery. You want to get some perfume on your upper lip, you work down at the smushery. It's
gross.
Horrible. You'll be nostalgic for the grist mill.
Okay, so So they find this house, and it's beautiful, and it's overlooking and stuff. Now, the house is abandoned. And this is confusing.
Even better.
Is that true?
If you want a house, and you walk up to said house, and there is nobody in said house.
I guess you could just go in, and it's your house now? Is that how house works?
I've done stranger things.
I would like to hear one.
Well, maybe not a whole house. Sure. Okay.
I'll show you a picture of the house later. You'll see. It's a pretty big house. So. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But empty. Empty. What? Totally empty.
Yes. Totally. It's totally abandoned. Totally, mm-hmm. totally empty.
No one's coming.
There's ghosts inside. There's ghosts inside.
Oh, well.
But.
Spoiler alert. Oh, yeah. Are we going to go to intermission now? Is that, what's going to happen? In Act Two, you'll find out. I'm going to go grab a beer.
Why is that Hang so on. Loud? Okay. Oh, boy. Let me see. I don't know what sounds Patrick is making, but it's upsetting.
Oh. All right.
Man, I hope this is one Jeremy's still going to edit before he goes.
Ready for Act Two. Anytime you want to lead okay. us back in.
Sure. So the house is abandoned. And Loretta and Dew are confused because it's a beautiful home, beautiful spot. Mm-hmm. They just don't know what's going on. Now, it needs some TLC.
Sure.
But yeah. Loretta is famous. She knows Chip and Joanna Gaines, I would assume.
Yeah. You know, so, scrub some of the bloody handprints off the wall.
No. You want to keep that. For sure. It's ambiance.
Maybe take a pressure washer down to the grist mill, you know, wash out the big parts.
The smush
yeah.
mill?
Yeah, down to the smushery. You don't want to. Smushery.
So why do I see a vision of a smushery t-shirt coming through?
Loretta Lynn's world famous smushery.
The new grossest thing we've ever created for the store.
18 plus, please.
Now, by the time they get to the house, it's getting dark out. So obviously they're lost and they decide they should not try to drive back. Mm-hmm. It's
the 60s. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, of course, the house is abandoned. So they decide to sleep on the porch.
That's okay. That's respectful. Right.
Yes.
Not my house. Yeah. This is not a felony. I'm on the porch.
Smells better out here than in there. I don't know how many people died in there, but it's pretty clear. They wake up the next morning, and Loretta says, I want to buy this house.
Mm, okay.
And Doolittle says, yeah, sure. All right. Mm-hmm. I assume Doolittle is just, he's just happy to be along for the ride. Loretta is blowing up. And I did look in some of his history. I would like to actually look in more. It seems like he was kind of one of those guys who's a real dick about like managing her career and stuff.
Mm.
And that's all I would say about that.
Hmm. Okay. Well. Big broad generalizations like this.
Yeah, do you like it?
I do.
Let me show you the house. If mm-hmm. I can get the screen share to work. I haven't tested this out yet. But let's find out. Here is the house. Can you see that?
Oh, I do. I'm not sure. Oh, and then the little like Dutch boy, Dutch girl statue.
Yeah, I don't know if that's original.
Yeah.
to the maybe. Property. It seems like they've been sitting there for a while.
Just a gorgeous house. Unbelievably gorgeous. The Doric columns, the six Doric columns holding okay. up the roof.
Yeah, we get it. We get it. You know the name of a column.
I have no idea whether that's Doric columns or not. They might be Ionic. The gorgeous second floor balcony. I see two chimneys. Actually, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, three chimneys. There's one hiding around the back side there. Yeah. This house
could be a fourth in the other corner.
Absolutely could be. Just a stunning, stunning home. Absolutely stunning.
So you get it. If you're Loretta Lynn, you see this. I mm-hmm. mean, I'm sure it didn't look quite this good.
The landscaping probably, you know, suffered.
Yeah. A little overgrown, mm-hmm. but, it's mm-hmm. a great house.
Assuming the ghosts are nonviolent, I am enduring a lot to own this home. I am. And also
like how smushy is a smush room? That's going to be important. We're gonna need some deets on the smush room. So Loretta wants the house. So they track down the owner, and the owner is happy to sell the house.
Oh.
But
you have to spend one night in the house.
Well, and yeah, a whole genre of films was created.
We want to spend all our nights in the house. We're, even better. But still.
If you can spend 70 nights in the house, I guess.
I don't know. The curse was pretty. I mean, the deed was pretty specific about how many nights you have to spend in the house.
So there is a catch, but it's a pretty big one. They can buy the house, but in order to do so, they actually have to buy the entire town.
Oh. This sounds fine, I guess.
And so Loretta says, I want the house. And so she buys the entire town.
Mm-hmm. Including like the little rundown motel with the... With the very sassy clerk sign. And the
wearing the wig, now I feel very strongly someone definitely was like, this is Loretta Lynn. She wants to buy her house. What should we just like try to sell the whole town?
She seems really desperate, and her husband seems like kind of a do nothing. Oh, that's an interesting name. Okay, yeah, I wouldn't have thought of that. Okay.
So Loretta and Doolittle become the proud owners of Hurricane Mills, Tennessee.
Hurricane Mills?
It's a weird name, isn't it?
I mean, it feels like what kind of Sammy Hagar ass name is this? This is.
It's a weird. I don't know.
Visit the Red Rocker down at Hurricane Mills.
Hurricane Mills.
August 14th. 18 plus, please.
I will take out my penis.
In case it wasn't clear enough. Hurricane Mills, only for adults.
So I don't know what must have happened here to name it Hurricane Mills, but that feels like a red flag. The town they bought includes the mill, the Hurricane Creek Dam.
They have their own dam?
They have their own dam.
This is a town that can be purchased. And it has a dam to maintain. Okay.
Now, I will, if you remember from the episode that came out last week, the Hales Bar Dam, I would also be looking to unload a dam.
Yeah, I don't.
That's a bad dam.
That's a lot of that's a lot of headache right there.
Could be a bad dam. The Hurricane Mills Bridge.
Okay. A lot of infrastructure. Like a surprising amount of infrastructure. This is
it's like a real town almost.
Clearly a senator was born in this town. He's like, I think we need a dam there too. The creek is getting unruly. We need to definitely spend some money.
Christopher Walken has become a senator from Hurricane.
I don't know, maybe.
What if we put a bridge over there and the Hillman Anderson house? Is I think probably her house, the Hillman Anderson house, which is built in 1876.
The house. The house. The dam. The house. The bridge.
There's also a general store.
Okay.
And a post office.
Okay.
It's a real town.
Sure.
It's not a real big town, but it's a real town.
No people, but you got the store.
Yeah. And Loretta Lynn buys it all.
Is it like one of these stores at a children's museum where you're the only person in there and you just like kind of pretend to scan like things through?
Mannequins are just standing behind the register.
Honey, can you go run down to the store and buy 12 boxes of noodle? Yeah, absolutely.
What are you talking about? Yeah. There's nothing there. Please stop sending
me. This isn't
me.
Butter. These are painted wooden blocks, Loretta. Have you gone insane?
So they move into the house, and it's not long before they start to realize why the house was abandoned.
Mm.
One day, not long after they moved in, Loretta had been on tour, and when she came home, she was pulling into the into the driveway on the tour bus, and through the windows, she sees a woman in white standing on the balcony.
Oh, caught. Caught.
Doolittle
became do something, and now he's
in deep doo doo.
He's in deep doo doo now. Yeah,
there we go. There we go. Tied it all together. All right. The woman in white was crying, and so Loretta, she goes inside. Now she had kids at this point, and therefore she had a live-in nanny.
Oh,
because she's on the road a lot.
Well, yeah, of course, she's a big
country music star. And, yeah,
like her husband is famously lazy, so
famously useless. So cool guy to have around. So she goes into the house and she asks the nanny who the woman is up on the balcony. Mm. Now the nanny has no idea what she's talking about.
Mm.
Like panicking. No one else is in the house.
Nanny's probably like, "There's a woman on the balcony." Okay. okay, this seems like something I probably am going to get in trouble for.
Sweat starts to pour down the head. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no.
I don't know. Oh, my God. I'm so sorry. Your husband's been away at the dam all week. I'm not entirely sure what I'm supposed to be doing here.
Oh, boy. So Loretta continues to see this woman from time to time, and usually on the balcony, sometimes, though, out in the graveyard. The town also has a graveyard.
Which she bought as well.
Yeah. She didn't have a choice. She buys a graveyard. So it's her graveyard, and she likes to walk through it. And sometimes she's this woman in white crying there. Mm-hmm. Any questions?
No, none. Great. Excited.
Now, at this point, Loretta, or I should say eventually, I guess, Loretta and Doolittle have 6 kids. Mm-hmm. One day, 2 of the daughters come running up to Loretta in a total panic. And they said there were strange men in the house.
Ooh. Not good.
So Loretta does not like this, obviously. Mm-hmm. She runs inside. She searches the house, but the house is empty. And not long after this, Loretta herself sees the same man her children described wandering around the house, but they're dressed in Civil War uniforms. And when she shouts at them, they turn and they look at her and they see her and they disappear.
Oh. Okay.
Which is easy. Easy solve. Yeah. Great. No problems.
They're basically raccoons. It isn't that bad.
Raccoons are way meaner than that. Poof. No. Yeah. Stop eating our trash, soldiers.
So you would prefer to have 2 Civil War ghosts than 2 raccoons?
Without question.
You can't keep out of the house.
Absolutely. Without question. 100%. Yeah, 1,000%.
I guess the rabies thing is less of an issue with the ghosts.
As far as I know.
Probably, right.
We haven't read one of those stories yet. We're pretty deep into this thing. So Loretta's oldest son, Jack, he was in the brown room one day.
I mean, you don't have to come up with these like little colloquial names for it. I know what it is. I know you have kids and you have to try and be nice and whatever, but you know.
This one's the brown room. Yeah. That one across the hall is the yellow room. You know what to do.
Do not mix the two. The plumbing is very restrictive.
So he's in the brown room one day when a soldier walks in.
Oh, no.
This is all very different when it's the bathroom.
He is going to be constipated for this. A year.
Yeah.
No way this kid shits in the next year.
Soldier walks in and tries to take off Jack's boots.
Oh, that's 10 times weirder.
Didn't see that coming,
Mr. Soldier, I'm finally getting it. Oh, damn it.
I need the heels of these things to boost me up just like this. Haven't you seen a squatty potty? I need this.
He's got these Farquaad boots on to help with the motion. And this soldier's like, no, we didn't have these. No, sir. Not these cursed things.
Speaking of Jack, by the way, sometimes we have fun facts. As you know, I have a new thing. This is a dismal fact. Jack died in 1984 by trying to ride a horse across a river on the property, and he fell off the horse and drowned.
Oh, I mean, if you're going to go, you better,
why not better go, fall into why a not go river by drowning. And drown. Okay. Anyway, the Confederate soldier, who tried to take Jack's boots off, is still seen in the brown room today. And staff sometimes also hear knocking coming from the inside of the closet in that room.
Mm.
Which is, I think it might be the worst place to hear knocking coming from. Inside of the closet door.
Inside the linen closet. No, I mean, you're sitting there. You're like finally relaxed.
I mean, you know, yeah. Just say nothing of the timing. Absolutely. Yeah. Like that's not where you want to be. Harassed.
You have about 4 cups of coffee in your belly. You sit down for a moment. Just you start to get relaxed. You hear like a light tippy 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 tap on the linen closet door, and you think, I'm going to have to go to the yellow room. I know I shouldn't have to, but I have to go to the yellow room now.
I'm going to need the, I don't know, what's the yellowish brown room? What's the? I'm going to go to the liquid room. I mean, name one worse place to be haunted.
None. Absolutely none.
Absolutely. This is the worst. I would
rather be in a pit in the basement being terrified than be in the brown room and have something surprise me like this. Tap
from inside also the brown room? No way. So that's going on. And with all this, with all the sightings that are happening, so Loretta decides to actually learn about the property that she had bought, which seems like something that's worth doing.
Maybe a little after the fact, sure.
I mean, better late than never. A little digging reveals there was actually a Civil War battle on the grounds. And she learns that as many as 19 dead soldiers are buried somewhere on the property, not in the cemetery.
Okay.
Yeah, there are people certainly buried in the cemetery, but there are at least up to 19 soldiers buried outside of the cemetery, just like around.
Yeah, just scattered about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She also learns that the crying woman is almost certainly the ghost of a woman named Beulah Anderson, who died around the turn of the century from the grief of losing her baby.
Not great.
I was thinking about, like, what that must be a euphemism.
It is. Right? Yeah, it's got to be. Yeah.
So, would you like to talk about what you think that might mean for the cause of death?
Less than
okay,
zero.
Great. Okay. You want to talk more about the brown room
instead? Yeah. Get back on that horse for a little while. Ride that right into the river.
Oh boy. Okay, so that's Beulah. So so they give that ghost some
space,
some leeway. Yeah. There are other sightings too. Now, I'm going to read something verbatim that I guess I'll warn you in advance. I received no additional context, and neither will you. What you are about to hear is what I read with no other information. Okay,
ready.
Loretta also recalls sitting at home with a close friend when they heard the sound of rattling chains coming from an area of the house known as the slave pit.
Oh my God. It's your house. You can change the names.
You cannot. I mean, there's so much to unpack there. And I found nothing.
Oh, Loretta, that one you can change. That one.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't have people over and be like, those chains, that must be the slave pit. Yep. You just.
Maybe went to the bottle of wine? Let me run down to the wine cellar. That's what it's always been called.
That would be great. I would accept that completely. What I think is, if you're a journalist or historian and you're writing about this decades later, I mean, I don't remember which sources came from, but it'll be listed in the show notes as usual, so you can go and scroll through and see for yourself. But you know, it's got to be at least around the turn of the 21st century. I think you could just not use that term. Also,
seems that's like an option. That's an easy one.
You could just say it comes from the hole in the ground.
Yep,
it's fine. Now, Patrick, having said that, what do you think happened in the slave pit?
Boy, everyone got along, I would imagine.
Do you want to go back to talking about Beulah and dying from grief?
Actually, can we take two steps back to the brown room, actually? I was very comfortable.
Oh, man. So, no further notes about that, but sound of rattling chains is problematic. Mm. Once it became obvious that there were ghosts on the property, Loretta decided to hold a seance.
Oh, okay.
To see what's really what.
Yeah,
which I like. She had some friends over, and they sat down, they did their thing, and they actually managed to connect with a spirit who called himself Anderson.
Hmm.
You may recall Beulah Anderson was the woman. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, Anderson was not too thrilled about being called up. He started shaking the table, and he was doing it so hard that it broke.
Oh. Well, kind of serves you right.
I think so. And then he left, and Loretta was like, wow, well, that seems like we hit on something here. So they do some more digging. It turns out this is the original owner of the house. His name was James Anderson. That's Beulah's husband. Anderson has also been seen by staff and by visitors up until present day. And turns out he's actually buried on the property.
Oh, okay.
So, I don't know. You think if you move his bones, does his ghost go or no?
Oh, no, I think the spirit gets tied. If it was like a house that you built, like you're the first person ever to live in it, I think your spirit gets tied to it.
Yeah.
Bones or no. Yeah. I don't really like the idea of getting buried in your own backyard like a gerbil. I don't like that.
That's for cats only.
Yeah, this is cats and Elvis. That's it. That's the whole list right there.
Can you remind me? Wait, I know we've talked about this before. What do you want me to do with you? I forgot. I need to write this down.
I'll have to go back and check the wiki.
Oh, something road trippy, I think. There was some road trip.
No, actually, I wanted you to...
There's a restaurant. Steak and Shake? No.
Denny's. I wanted you to slowly flush every piece of me down the toilet in the Denny's while you're trying to explain away why you're in there.
I hate to say this. I hope Amy goes first because otherwise that's going to be a tough battle for me.
Amy's going to be like, I want an open casket, very tasteful. And you're going to be like, yeah, I got the electric knife right here though. And
I got the Sawzall.
He was real specific. You can go back and listen to episodes.
We got the episodes. Yep.
Something.
Now it's in at least two. So Jen, I'm sure Jen knows which ones. Jen, can you notate those for us, please? Just for future reference. Cause Amy's going to want to know. So he's been anyway. So even Loretta's grandchildren have had encounters with ghosts on this property. And this is a quote from one of her grandsons. The power happened to go out one night. And as I was rounding the corner to get back into my room, the chandelier was the only light that was on in the house. What's so strange about this is that the entire house is on the same electric breaker. There's no possible way the chandelier could have been on while all the other lights were off.
Ooh.
Now you're a big nerd, so I thought that would get you.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you'd like that.
Big nerd.
Big
little
nerd.
Trouble that they're using the circuit breaker to turn the lights on and off in the house. That's not kosher. That's not how you do that. This is not cool. We have light switches in our house. Some houses have them.
You're talking about the ghost here or the people?
I'm talking about the people. You don't use circuit breakers to turn the lights on and off. But that's
I don't think they use them for that. Did I read this wrong? I don't think they.
Maybe.
They're on the same breaker.
Right.
So if the breaker was off, everything should be off. But
the breaker is off. Okay. I'm sorry. Yes. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you nerd. You scared?
I'm not listening real close. I'll be honest.
Yeah, it's been pretty clear for about, 50 minutes or so.
Anyway, so this kid's sitting in the brown room, right?
So despite the haunting, Loretta Lynn, who I don't think was very bothered by any of this, she lived in that house for a very long time.
Mm. She ever write any songs about it?
Yeah.
I mean, just honestly, you would think it'd be
like, actually, as a matter of fact, she did.
I
didn't write this down, but I'm so glad you said this. She wrote a song called, I think it's called The Haunted House, actually. I'm not joking.
Some songwriter.
I know this sounds like I'm just making it.
And what are you going to call this magnum opus about the haunting of your family estate? I'm going to call it The Haunted House. Oh, yeah, that's a good name. Sure.
I'm pretty sure. I got to find this. Let's see. I mean, the song is, This Haunted
House.
And
the song starts out like this. They're creepy and they're spooked. No. No. That one.
That one's taken. I love it, but it's taken. This Haunted House. And the song, let's see. I mean, it's about a love gone wrong, but it's about a haunted house.
Right,
it's
but she talks about skeletons and pumpkins
killing me,
and
the ghost
stuff, right?
Of your love won't set me free. Each one of my friends are crying alone. It's haunted house we used to call our home. Blah, blah, blah. So it's, but yeah, there was someone who was like, it was the inspiration for this song. So yes,
sure.
Thank you, Patrick, for asking.
I don't know.
She did write a song about that. And for some reason, she was 13 years old in this song. I don't know. It's weird. I've got 6 kids, but I'm 13 years old. Let's see. Where are we?
I have no idea where you are.
So she lived in the house for a really long time. In the 2000s or maybe the 2010s, she actually moved into a new house she built in the town still. So she always owned the town. Her family still owns the town of Hurricane Mills. She built a new house near the original, quite recently. That's a long time in a house with ghosts.
Yeah.
And she's cool with that, or was. She died really recently. She died in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
No word yet on any hauntings from Loretta herself, but she's still a baby ghost. So we keep this going long enough.
Not much power.
Back. Not much power. There. I'm going to give about 50 years. If we're still doing this podcast in 50 years, I bet we'll have a Loretta Lynn ghost.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if you want to go tour the Loretta Lynn house, you can. They will not let you go to the top floor. That's where the brown room is. Because they they don't say it's because they don't want to clean it, mm-hmm. but it could be that. Yep. The official reason is the docents who run the place are too scared to go in.
Oh, wow. Oof.
And that is the story of the haunted house of Loretta Lynn, very famous American country music star. What do you think?
Very exciting. Very, very exciting. I
seem excited. That's good.
I really appreciate that she never gave up on the terrible town name of Hurricane Mills. That's like,
you could, it's like, you could just, it's so easy to change it. It's so easy.
It sounds like an outlet mall in Florida or something like that. She's like, you know what? It's perfect. Why change it? All the signs got printed already. Let's just do it.
It's a surprising choice. Mm-hmm. It is. It really is. But hey, you know.
Good for her.
She was happy there and the ghost's angry. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. Well, I guess that's it for this episode of Is This a Ghost? Our glorious return that was not broken at all for listeners, but for us, it's been a couple weeks. Nice to be back. This went flawlessly, super smooth.
Mm-hmm. No notes.
Is This a Ghost? Is a production of Smith Show Media. All the notes this week were, in fact, taken by me, Clayton Smith. All the funny jokes were from Patrick Dean. Our audio editor is Jeremy Montoya. Our video editor is Jen Swanson. Our social media manager is Kai Valonis. And I don't know. Listen, I'll tell you, everyone's like, I should just get rich and be a music star and buy cool houses. And I'm saying, I don't think you should. Because if you do that, you might end up on next week's episode of Is This a Ghost?